Well, good morning, dear ones. This morning is our last Sunday of our sermon series, Big Tent, Reclaiming Our Heritage. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today is what it means to be a big tent family. And as a family, we love to welcome in new folks. So if this is your first, second, or third time, and you would love to hear more about this Big Tent heritage called Paz Naz, we'd love to tell you about it. You can fill out one of these cards found right in front of the seat pocket in front of you. You can check off a box if there's an area of ministry you'd like to learn more about. Or also, as a big family, we want to take care of you and we want to pray for you. So if you have a prayer request this morning, you can flip the card around and you can write it down right here and we will pray for you on Thursday morning at 10 a.m. at our Simply Prayer gathering. Well, Jesus, in the middle of his ministry, people were trying to bring children to him, and others were keeping the children away. And Jesus said, "No more of this. Let the children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." And this morning, we are welcoming little ones into the fold for our baby dedication Sunday. And so to kick us off, I wanted to invite the Apel family forward as we get to dedicate August Fox Apel. And we've got many family members here. We have grandparents, we have aunts and uncles and cousins. And so we're going to invite the whole family forward for this really special moment. And so here we have August Fox Apel. Hi, August. August was born on December 28th of 2016. So August is almost two, which is just amazing. We are so glad to have the whole family here. Aw, so sweet. We are so glad. And so, Mom and Dad, this is a special moment. This is a part that actually all of us as a family, as a big tent family, get to participate in because we all have a role in this moment. Yes, we are dedicating him to God, but we are also dedicating him to the family of God, and we are dedicating ourselves to August. So such a wonderful moment. So, Mom and Dad, in presenting this child for dedication this morning, this signifies your faith in the Christian faith. And what it means to live for Jesus. And so this signifies a moment for you. And also you are testifying your role and duty to teach August the ways towards Jesus, the path of discipleship, to watch over his discipleship and education in the Christian faith, to direct his path to the scriptures as well. And to bring him here to the family of God so that he could be formed into the image and likeness of Jesus. And so will you endeavor to do this by the help of God? If so, say we will.
We will.
Wonderful. And Paz Naz, as I just mentioned a moment ago, we have a role in this as well. Will you commit yourselves as the body of Christ to support and encourage this family to come alongside of August to help him grow in his faith towards spiritual maturity? If so, say we will.
We will.
We will. Amen. Let's see, August, can I say hello to you for a moment? Hi, bud. Oh, my favorite part. I can't hold my boys anymore. August, we dedicate you to the family of God, and we dedicate you to God. And Lord, we pray that you would surround this child, that he would grow into a young man of God that knows you, that follows you, that lives for you, that reflects your goodness and likeness, and that he would grow into a young man of God into spiritual maturity. God, we pray that we as a congregation would be able to surround this family, encourage them, and point him to the ways of the story of God for your glory and your kingdom. We love you, Lord, and we trust that August is in your hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you. And now we have another special family here with us. I'd like to invite for the family of Maxwell Charles Ballou. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Maxwell Charles Ballou was born on November 20th of 2017. He is asleep, so we're all going to whisper. Wonderful. So his 1 year birthday is coming up soon. And so Mom and Dad, in presenting Maxwell Charles Ballou for dedication, this signifies not only your faith in the Christian faith, but also your desire that Maxwell will grow to know and follow the Lord, live in the will of God, and love Jesus. And so then it'll be your role to come alongside of him, to point him to the ways of Jesus, to teach him the Holy Scriptures and the path of discipleship, to direct his mind towards what it means to be a part of the family of God. If you endeavor to do this by the help of God, answer, we will. Amen. And now, Paznaz, we get to have a role in Maxwell's life as well. Will you commit yourselves, the body of Christ, to support and encourage this amazing family to fulfill their responsibilities in nurturing Maxwell's growth towards spiritual maturity? If so, answer, we will. We will. Maxwell Charles Ballou, are you still sleeping?
That's a sleeping baby.
Oh, I will gladly hold a sleeping baby. This is where it's at. Wow. Maxwell Charles Ballou, we dedicate you to God and to the family of God. And Lord, we pray that your nurturing and guiding and leading hand would be upon this child of God, that he would grow into a young man of God in spiritual maturity, that he would grow to know you, follow you, live faithfully, reflect your goodness, and magnify and glorify your name. We pray that you would use him to be a mover and a shaker in this world and to bring you honor and glory in all that he does. God, we pray that you would surround this family, give them the wisdom and knowledge to lead this child in the Christian faith. And may they as a family reflect your goodness for the world to see you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. He never woke. Amen. We invite you to draw your attention to the screens for our big tent bumper video. Continue our series this morning, Big Tent, Reclaiming Our Heritage. And actually, this is the last Sunday for this sermon series, as next week we begin a new series called Come As You Are. And it'll be a wonderful opportunity for us to practice as a congregation what it means to be a Big Tent church, expanding our tent poles and making space for others. And so before we dig in, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your presence here this morning. We pray that our hearts would be tuned with yours. We pray that our hearts would be open and moldable, and that you would have your way. We love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, this is a special day. Fifth Sunday of the month is something that we call Family Life Sunday. And so I wanted to invite all the little, I'm going to do something daring. I want to invite all the littles forward, and I want to share a special message with you. So all the children, go ahead and make your way down through the aisles, and I'm going to give some instructions. And at the end, there's a little bit of a prize at the end of service, and I'm going to tell you all about it. So let's go ahead and gather right around here. Come on forward. And go ahead and sit down. Very good. Come on forward. Come on. I know we have lots of kids up there in the balcony. If you can make it forward, great. If you can't, you won't miss out on the prize, I promise. Come on forward. Come on down. All right. Look at all of this. I just love seeing so many children that I know. So good to see you guys. Wonderful. Oh, thank you, Noah. Okay. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. We've got some more coming down. All right. I just love this. Thank you. Hi, Grace. Okay. Look at all of this. This is our family. This is our church. We're so glad you're here. How many of you? Hi, Victoria. How many of you have ever been to the library? To your own library in your town. Isn't the library a wonderful place? We like the library. You like the library too?
I like the DVDs.
You like the DVDs. That's what we're going to talk about. Do you know all the things that you can do at the library when you go? You can play games. You can get a book. At your library, you can go on the... There's games at the library in Pennsylvania. That is so great. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, there are games. There are all sorts of stuff that you can do with something called a library card. Did you know that you can have a membership card to the library? And just by that little card, if you get it with your name on it or your mommy and daddy's name on it, it gives you access to all of this stuff. You got new lenses at the library. Whoa, that's so awesome. Oh, you got new lenses. Yes. So at the library, you can, with your library card, it gets you access to magazines, to DVDs, to books. You can check out books and you can borrow them. And guess how much the library card costs you?
How many?
Who wants to guess? How much? $1,000. What else?
I like looking at books.
You like looking at books?
Yeah, sometimes I buy them.
Sometimes you buy them. Who else can guess how much the library card costs? It doesn't cost anything. That is right. It's free. Everybody say free. Free. The library card is free. You don't have to do anything to get a library card. And with that simple library membership card, you have access to all of that stuff. Well, guess what? We are also members in the family of God. And as members in the family of God, there are so many wonderful things and gifts that we can have. Isn't that wonderful? And how much do you think it costs to be a part of the family of God? Does it cost anything to have a membership in the family of God? Nothing. It doesn't cost anything. It's free. Everyone say free. Free. It's free to be in the family of God. In fact, Galatians 3:26 through 29 says this. It says, "For you are all children of God's family through faith in Christ Jesus. All of us have been united with Christ." And it's like putting on new clothes. It says there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for we are all one in Christ. All of you are children in the family of God. Say children. Say children. Children in the family of God. And guess what it costs? It's free. You have a membership in the family of God and you have access to so much. So, in your activity pack, there's a coloring sheet that across it says membership, family of God. Yes, Lexi.
Can I go up there?
You know what? I'm going to ask Caleb to come on down here. He's going to be my helper. And you guys are going to draw on your little worksheet. Everyone say prize.
Prize.
Prize. Who wants a prize?
Me.
Prize
me.
Sound good? Me. All right. So here's what I need you. In your activity pack, you're going to color on a piece of paper that says membership in the family of God. And I want you to bring it back to me at the end of worship. And I want to see what you drew. And you can pick a prize from the prize box. How's that sound? Everybody say prize.
Prize.
Surprise! All right, so go ahead and go back and find your mom and dad. Very good. Go back and find. Oh, yeah, Noah, nice one. Your mom's right here, isn't she? Let's go. Come on. Why don't you go find Daddy's on camera, so I think you're going to go with Miss Kim. All right. Very good. So the instructions are, once again, you're going to draw a picture of what it means to be a member in the family of God. So maybe you're going to draw a picture of friends and family from church, or maybe you're going to draw a picture of all the wonderful free gifts that we get for being a part of the family of God, or maybe you want to draw a picture of the things that you hear from the sermon. And then you're going to bring it back to me, and you get to pick a prize from the prize box. Everyone say prize. All right, wonderful. Well, if we were honest, being a member of a family, while it is a wonderful gift, it also comes with challenges. Several years ago, there was a viral video that made its rounds through social media from Saturday Night Live. And in this sketch, it depicted a family gathered around a Thanksgiving table. And people started bringing up politics and controversial issues. And very quickly around that Thanksgiving table, brothers and sisters, moms, dads, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas started to get annoyed with one another. And the video was just so funny because it was so true. It hit so close to home. Because let's face it, with any family, there are challenges. There is bickering, there are fights, there are sometimes exclusions, but there can also be something so beautiful about family that roots us. For me, my family is rooted back in the Midwest. We all have roots, whether we realize it or not, and these roots help us make sense of who we are and where we've come from. It helps us make sense of our identity in our own personal story. For me, growing up as a Midwestern girl, I am corn-fed, barbecue chicken-fed, casserole-fed. These are my roots, and this is where I come from. And 2.5 years ago, moving here to Southern California, it was quickly apparent that my roots were in the Midwest and not in Southern California. Let me tell you. I learned very quickly, if you ever say, I really like Cali, to a Southern California, referring to California, they will look at you with a scrunched up nose. Never, ever call Southern California Cali. I also learned that not very many people say you guys like we do from Chicago. And I also very quickly learned that it's not Interstate 210 or it's not I-210, but it's the 210 or the 101, not Interstate 101. I also learned that no one really makes very many casseroles or hot dishes around here, but instead it's all about sushi. Oh, and let me tell you, in Southern California, everyone loves to talk about the weather or lack thereof, and they love to talk about the weather here compared to the Midwest. Oftentimes, whenever I'm telling someone that I'm from the Midwest, they like to say, oh, what do you think of the weather out here? It's cold back in the Midwest, isn't it? And then when there actually is weather out here, it's practically Armageddon. And we love to talk about the traffic out here, don't we? Very quickly, after 2.5 years of being here, however, I think I am slowly but surely being grafted in to the Southern California family. And these are slowly but surely becoming our roots. And it's hard to believe that my boys are being raised as Southern California boys. I am being grafted into the Southern California family. But have you ever felt like an outsider before? Have you ever been to a family gathering and you realize right away that maybe that you're a little bit different, that you talk differently, that your traditions and rituals are different, and that you're a little bit of an outsider? Maybe perhaps you have been excluded from a family or a tradition. The amazing thing about the story of God is when we dig into Scripture, what we discover is that the story of God, the narrative of God, is moving to a place with open doors of inclusion and not exclusion, of foreigners being welcomed, of strangers being included, of aliens being embraced, and all people being included to one giant big family of God from every socioeconomic background, racial, familial, bloodlines, no matter what their past, no matter what their story, no matter what their walks of life, they are being brought together and grafted in as one story of God. You see, you've heard me talk about this before, but oftentimes we think of the Old Testament and the New Testament as almost two separate, loosely connected stories of God. You see, sometimes, I think we sometimes think of the Old Testament as though it was a vehicle with a family inside of it. And that vehicle started to get rusty, and the tires started to get flimsy, and eventually the tire became flat. So no one knew what to do, so they got up out of the vehicle and they found a new shiny vehicle and everyone got in. But that's actually not the case. What we see is actually the story of God is full of a family of misfits, a family of misfits and outcasts, and they're all in one vehicle, and actually the destination that they are heading towards was a destination in which they were supposed to go. They had arrived to their destination, and when they arrived to their destination in Jesus, actually what happens is the doors are flung wide open, and other people start getting in, and it's no longer ethnic Israel in this vehicle, but other family members start being included. Those who were once outsiders, those who were once outcasts, are brought in. And people start piling into the vehicle. Aliens and strangers and foreigners are all at once being piled into this vehicle. And you see, this family of God that we begin with, the one that's in the vehicle, that's moving towards a destination, and that destination is Jesus, is told. We can see the picture of this in the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amnadab, Amnadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Okay, we could go on and I could try to show off to you all these amazing pronunciations that I could do for you. But this is a peculiar passage. And it's not peculiar because of how hard it is to pronounce the names. But what makes it peculiar is the names that are included in the genealogy of Jesus. See, oftentimes we skip right over this and we jump right into the Christmas story. But there is some rich theology. There's a story about who's been included in this vehicle that has arrived to its destination in Jesus. And this isn't something that we should just glance over. But when we dig into this genealogy of all these peculiar names, of course we have the major players. We have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, and Solomon. And as we dig in, though, there are others included in this list that are less than desirable names, you see. There are liars and cheaters. There are people who ran from God. There are people who were at the height of their leadership, mountaintop experiences that had a long way to fall, and they fell. There are people that are runaways and misfits. There are people with hard and stubborn hearts and unbelieving hearts. There are people who fell short and blatantly turned their backs away from God. But you see, this is the people that were included in the vehicle that was moving towards a destination. This is a story of God that culminated in Jesus. And interestingly, we also notice that there are some female names in there, which we may not, again, think much of. However, in Jewish genealogy, this was unheard of. Women never would have been included in a genealogy. But this is the family of God. in the vehicle that had arrived to its destination in Jesus. And what it tells us is the wideness of God's mercy, the depths of God's grace, and the height of God's kingdom. It shows us a story of a God that transcends cultural and political and socioeconomic and gender and racial lines. It shows us how big and grand God's love is. And you see, this is the family of God that was in the vehicle that was moving towards a destination. And what we discover is by the time it arrived to the destination there in a manger in Bethlehem is that the doors come off of the vehicle and more people start piling in. And the people that start piling in start getting more peculiar and more strange and more odd. You see, this isn't only the family of God that had arrived to its destination in Jesus, but then this is the posture and the approach that Jesus had in his ministry. Because the family of God, that vehicle that is moving towards the destination, that culminates in Jesus, is full of misfits, outcasts, and as E.P. Sanders often says, notorious sinners. The ministry of Jesus is one that moved towards a people, that pursued a people that had less than desirable resumes and sketchy pasts, if you will. It includes the woman at the well who seemed to have a foggy memory of all the different men that she was married to. It includes a man by the name of Zacchaeus who was known for scraping off money and putting it in his own pocket. Off of the backs of others. He made his money by harming others, and yet Jesus called him down from a tree and invited him to the table, to the family of God. The second thing that we see is that the family that culminates in Jesus, this vehicle that was moving towards the destination, the doors came off and other people started piling in, was a family that included people with physical limitations. It included the blind, the sick, and the lepers who were untouchable and who were pushed to the outside of the community. Jesus instead moves towards them. He touches them and he pulls them close and he invites them into this big, grand family. The third thing that we see is that the family of God that moved towards a destination, the doors of the vehicle came off and other people started piling in, is one that includes children. Those children who are talking while the preacher's preaching, those children who are seemingly loud, those children who are running in church and climbing on the altars, those children who are smashing Cheerios on the ground. And when the disciples and other people tried to hold the children back and say, stay away, Jesus said, no, 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 welcome them and bring them closer. And in a time when this was unprecedented, Jesus elevated their voices and he said, these children matter for the kingdom of God is theirs. And finally, the family that includes a vehicle moving towards a destination and the doors came open and other people started piling in is a long and wide table. In other words, it includes people who by today's standards wouldn't dare darken the doors of a church. But in God's family, in Christ, they are given names. They are elevated. They are given a purpose. They are given brothers and sisters. They are given a seat at the table. They are given a place to belong. They are loved. And what we see in the grand story of God that culminates in Jesus when the doors are open and other people start piling in is it shows us just how big, wide God's grace, love, and mercy is. And you see, sometimes I think that our vision for the church is small. Sometimes I think it's anemic. We want the kind of church where people like the same music we like. We want the kind of church where people dress a particular way. We want the kind of church where people look and act a certain way. We want the kind of church where the culture is acceptable by our terms. We want the type of church where it's easier for me. Our vision for church is small. It's anemic. And see, our big tent heritage, this thing that we call Nazarenes, is a people of mergers. Of a people of extending the table, of figuring out a way if the table extender isn't big enough, we find a way to make it happen. It's extending the poles of our tent, complex and hard and challenging at times, yes, at a time when northern and southern churches weren't uniting, the Church of the Nazarene was coming together. We are a people who declare, yes, we celebrate our holiness tradition, but what we celebrate is the social reality of holiness. That is love and reconciliation and unity and coming together and togetherness and welcoming in once estranged members into the family of God. And you see, it's like this. I recently read a story by someone named Robert Fulghum, who's a great storyteller. He tells a story about a time that he volunteered at church for a kids' night out. We do those every once in a while. And he said, I have no idea what I got myself into. I don't even know why I volunteered for this kids' night out. And when I arrived, I realized I didn't have a plan at all. So he gathered all the kids together, which we can imagine how that is, as we just saw moments ago, herding kitty cats. He said, I gathered all the children together, and I decided I would divide them up into three different groups. He said, all right, I want all of you guys to come together. Over to my left, we're going to have the dwarfs. And in the middle, you're going to be the giants. And over to my right, you're going to be the wizards. And so he started corralling them. We've got the dwarfs, the giants, and the wizards. And as he was corralling the kids, he felt a tug on his pants. He looks down, and he said he saw a little girl with giant eyes looking up at him. She said, excuse me, where do the mermaids stand? And he said, well, we just have the dwarfs and the giants and the wizards. There's no such thing as mermaids. And to which she said, yes, there are. I are one. He said he looked at her and he grabbed her hand and he said, the mermaids stand next to the king of the sea. And he said, they stood there overlooking the dwarfs and the giants and the wizards. And they stood there together. And he said, I learned something that day. What I learned is that mermaids exist. He said, and not only that, but mermaids stand. And you see, the thing about the family of God that is that vehicle that's moving towards a destination. And then once it arrives to that destination in Jesus, the doors are flung wide open and other people start piling in. The thing about this family that culminates in Jesus is this family is a family that finds a place for mermaids to stand. The family that culminates in Jesus is one that finds a place for mermaids to stand. That's the kind of church I want to pastor. I want to pastor a church that expands the tent poles and says, we've never had a standing mermaid before, but we're going to figure this out. We're going to find a place for mermaids to stand. We're going to make space. We're going to extend our table because this is what Jesus shows us. This is the life that Jesus embodied. And one of the things that I love so much about this church is this has been core and central to who we are. We have put our stake on the ground and we said we are a holiness people, we are a missional people, and we are going to lean into the social realities of what it means to be a holiness people, for we are intergenerational and we are intercultural. And let me tell you, there's nothing easy about that. But it's beautiful. And it's a gift. And we work to find a place for mermaids to stand through our incredible special needs ministry. And so I'm going to invite Pastor Julie Keith forward. Pastor Julie Keith has been given oversight to our special needs ministry for almost 12 years now, which is absolutely incredible. And she has also had her hand in many places through outreach events and family life ministry. And we're going to talk about just this incredible legacy that PASNAS has over the number of years of finding a place for mermaids to stand. And Pastor Julie, you are also an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene. And so you celebrate and love this rich heritage of what it means to be a big tent people. And so I wonder if you could share how being a big tent people impacts your passion for special needs ministry.
Yes, thank you. It's actually one of the very aspects of the Church of the Nazarene that I so resonated with. I am a transplant. I did not grow up in the Church of the Nazarene. And so when I heard about our history of how Phineas Brzee made space and a place for those who were on the margins, it so resonated with what I had spent my life doing in making a space and including those who are on the margins. And I love our name, Nazarene, and how we got that. And how it is from the passage of scripture in John where Philip goes to get his brother Nathaniel. And he says, come meet this man, Jesus. He's from Nazareth. And he's like, Nazareth? What good can come from Nazareth? And that is what Phineas Brzee said. We want to be a people that when the world and everyone else says, what good can come, we can say, oh, but there is good. And for the people who I have spent a lot of my life hands along and working with, I want them to know that good comes and that there's a place for them.
And tell us about a time. Help us to catch a vision. I mean, we get to see it Sunday after Sunday. Grace leads me into worship every Sunday. She brings me a beautiful handwritten letter every Sunday, and so we get a glimpse of it. But tell us more about how the special needs ministry here at PASNAS leans into this Big Tent heritage.
And to see how over the course of time, we have seen a ministry that started with just a Sunday school class and a parents group to now a full ministry from children all the way through adults to not just kind of out in their place, but in Sunday school classes, you heard Mosaic class celebrating one another today, how every Sunday they are here. How we continue to see how people within our congregation are asking for help to know how to welcome our friends and wanting training and wanting opportunities to make sure we are continuing to expand our tent and do all that God calls us to do.
Beautiful. And in closing, so we can let the children find their prize box in just a moment, finish this sentence. PASNAS finds a place for mermaids to stand by.
By how we look at each person as individuals, and we don't try to put them in a cookie cutter mold, but we look to see where their place is. And we look to see who each child, each teen, each adult, and we help them find ways to serve. And as we continue to go outside of our walls and we go into the community to see who is there that still needs to come in.
Wonderful. You know, one of the things that Pastor Brad or Dr. Brad Strawn has helped us understand through the last couple years is that this Christian life is not some sort of disembodied practice, but we practice our faith with our bodies, with our feet on the ground and with our hands. And so I want to send you off with a challenge today to practice this, to practice this with your bodies, to find a place for mermaids to stand, to lean into our Big Tent heritage by coming to our love walk this Saturday, and to practice by marching around this church or wheeling wheels around this church, or to stand on the sidelines and cheer those on who are walking around this church, and to give generously towards this wonderful ministry. This is an opportunity for us to lean in and practice this with our bodies. Amen.